We have started. Hello, and here we are for our podcast all about football.
Hooray!
Hello, everybody. Right, my name's Emma, and I am sat in a very small office with four men. Sounds very exciting.
Football.
So I'm going to introduce you to them all. First, we've got Anthony Roberts.
Hello.
Bryn Griffiths.
Anthony Clavain.
Mike Harwood.
And we're here to talk about football. So, Sunday the 10th
is
of June.
Is this about football?
Yes, it is.
Right.
I know nothing about football.
New embark. You're a new place to go for the Arts Centre.
Amazing. Football.
Right. 10th of June. It's the eve of the World Cup opening week. And Colchester Arts Centre has its very own World Cup opener.
Yes.
Titled, Why England Lose. Now, going to hand you over to Anthony Clavain.
Thank you very much, Emma. Well, this is the question, why do England lose? It was a book by Simon Cooper, and he said, every great English banana skin moment of a major tournament is a ritual that marks the passing of time and celebrates a certain idea of England. A land of unlucky heroes no longer rules the world. So what we are doing is, in a serious and humorous way, looking at the fact that every World Cup we've been to since 1966, apart from one, the 1991, has been a failure. The 1990 World Cup, talking about that, Bryn, you were, I think, you were watching it with a very special person, weren't you?
Yeah, I want to give you a clip from Radio Colne, where I'll transport you back to Italia '90.
Radio Colne Broadcasting?
Radio Colne Broadcasters, yes, your local community radio station.
1990.
No, no, the other week.
Oh, sorry.
I took them back to 1990.
You took Colne Radio back then?
I took them back, yeah.
Wow.
I transported them back. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
That
was the Tigers.
Cast your minds back to Italia 90. Bobby Robson was our manager.
Bobby.
Gazzo was magnificent as a Geordie god. I had to kid you not, he was in his pomp, but he was at his very best. We even had a decent World Cup song.
He burst into
tears.
With
World in Motion, more of that later with the wonderful John Barnes rap. We made it to the semi-final. Against West Germany. It was 0-0 at half-time, and then the Germans scored first in the 59th minute. We knew the routine. Our hearts were going to be broken. But then Lineker scored in the 81st.
Go!
We were in it. It was 1-1. In extra time, Gazza clumsily fouls Berthold. He immediately raises his hand. He apologises. And then it's as if everybody watching the television across the whole nation paused as one. They looked. They waited. And it was an age just like that. The referee started to ruffle his pocket. He found that yellow card. He raised it. And the whole nation choked. The magnificent Gazza was not going to be in the final. Gazza started to cry. Lineker looked at the camera and gave a quizzical look. The whole nation was traumatised. Gazza was in tears. What was going to happen? We got to penalties. So it was penalties against the Germans. We all knew how this was going to end. But no. Lineker scores. Beardsley scores. Platt scores. Each time they were going in, our emotions rose. We were hopeful. But then, Germany draw level. Psycho comes up.
Come on, Psycho.
Stuart Pearce said, one man in the whole world you could trust to thunder it into the back of the net and probably burst the net. It was Psycho. But he missed.
Getting quite emotional here.
And shortly after that, it was over.
Well, that was bringing back memories. Bryn,
Where were you watching the penalty shootout?
Well, you couldn't have written it, really. I was with a woman, a friend of mine, called Pam Sladdock, who was Stuart Pearce.
Pam who?
Pam Sladdock. She was the stepsister of Stuart Pearce, affectionately known as Psycho. So we'd watched the whole match, and she never declared herself as an England fan until the semi-final was reached, and she was a tutor at a local college, and she announced it to the whole college that she was the stepsister of Stuart Pearce. So she got a lot resting on this, and Psycho comes up to take the penalty, and he misses, and it just went silent in the room, and this silence hung in the air, and eventually the silence was broken when her daughter spoke for the nation, and he said, "Oh, Uncle Stuart." And it was over, and we went down the park.
Psycho's sister.
Right.
Right, Anthony, I hear you're preparing yourself mentally by lying on a bed of nails. Is that right?
Yes, I'm preparing myself for the pain that is to come.
Now, what does that mean exactly? Are you literally lying on a bed of nails? Tell us more.
The pain which we anticipate is going to be so vast that the bed of nails will be like a comfort to watching England play in the World Cup, I fear. So, yes, it is a literal task I'm undertaking.
And you are in charge of the Subutio this year.
Yes, that's right, the Subutio. The last time Subutio took place in this very venue, there was a final between a small, callow youth, a nine-year-old, looking forward to glory, and a vicious, nasty journalist called Anthony Clavain that pushed him aside to lift the trophy. And we all remember it with great embarrassment.
Did he cry like Gasser?
That's right. Etched in the nation's memory was this small child weeping in his
mother's
breast.
That almost makes Anthony a German, doesn't it?
Clearly, yeah. That's really is the enemy.
The enemy.
So what's going to happen? I mean, on the night, we're going to have Anthony Roberts organising a reenactment of the penalty shootout through Subutio.
Yeah.
With prizes. We're going to have, as well as Bryn Griffiths and myself, we're going to have Mike Harwood, who's the famous poet from Wivenhoe. We have actually got Mike Harwood here, haven't we? Hello, Mike.
Hello. In 2010.
2010.
Carol Ann Duffy, the poet laureate, wrote a poem about the shirt, about a Gazza shirt.
Oh.
And it became a kind of shroud, a symbol of England's defeat. Mm. And when I checked it through, I thought this is inspiring because it ranges right through the emotions of how poetry captures. Mm. Ups and downs, ins and outs, down the wing, defence, attack. Mm. And in short spaces, it can capture the emotions, the roller coaster of all the kind of words and feelings and emotions, distractions that we're going to actually experience. Yeah, and I think that will kind of will actually complement all of the other fantastic talent that's here. Mm. And
I'm looking forward to a beautiful moment.
Yes.
Where you capture our emotions.
So you'll be doing poetry on the night?
On the night?
Yeah.
Have you written it yet, El Presidente? Wivenhoe Poetry El Presidente? Is it done yet? Or should we be worried?
Well, I have probably 40 poems I've knocked out in the last couple of days. But,
Two will do.
They will probably cut down other people, I don't want to hog it. I'm happy to do a couple.
And who else are we going to have there?
Also, we've got Carrie Dunn. And Carrie is coming all the way from London. She's a very distinguished journalist, writer. She's covered events from the Ashes to the Olympics. Her most recent book's about the Lionesses, which chronicles the women's football in England. And during the 2014 Men's World Cup, she was part of a quartet of bloggers for Kick It Out, the anti-discrimination organisation. And, of course, we've got myself. I'm a sports journalist, an author and a playwright. I've lived in the Colchester-Wivenhoe area for the past 30 years, which is odd because I must have been four when I moved here. So, now over to Bryn Griffiths.
I have a question for Bryn.
For Bryn.
So, what about Colchester United's contribution to the World Cup?
Well, you wouldn't have think that there was one on the face of it, would you? But there's a bloke called Latty who's the sort of Colchester's answer to a football stato. And he's come up with a whole list. We've got a former Colchester United manager, Adi Boothroyd.
Adi Boothroyd.
Yeah. Hoofroyd, as he was affectionately known when he managed Colchester United, if you want any clue on his playing style. We put him up for manager because he manages the England under-21, so the future of English football is completely safe. We've got a striker. Some might argue he's past his best by the time he turned up at the Colu, but we've got Teddy Sheringham.
He went to Colchester United.
And Northern Ireland going to make a contribution with a former Colu player, Ian Stewart, and Republic of Ireland. Do you remember those fantastic World Cups with Ireland?
Yes.
Well, Kinsella was another Colchester player.
Yeah, but that was his brother, wasn't it? Wasn't it Kinsella's brother?
No, you're mixing him up with Izzy.
Kemi
is his brother, neither of which played. And then we've got Richard Garcia, who played for Colchester United promotion side. Do you remember him? Garcia! Scored it!
We got him. He played for
Australia.
Did he?
Got beaten, but he actually entered the pitch. Yes. And then there's a bloke I've never heard of called Tommy Smith.
Tommy Smith is a sax player.
He's also a comedian, isn't he? Well, this one played for New Zealand.
He's also the captain of the 1965 Liverpool FA Cup winning team.
Yes.
Tommy Smith.
I don't think he was any of them. I think he was the one that played for Colchester United that very few people except Latty have heard for. And then we've got, from South Africa, we had a Colchester player.
Is that Colchester? What, this guy played for Colchester?
Bongani Kumalo.
Mm. When did he play for Colchester?
I haven't a clue. We'll have to ask Latty. He knows.
Is he making that up?
No, it's in Latty's website. And Latty's website knows everything.
No one knows. Who would dare that? Well, that's very exciting. 10th of June, then. This all happens at Colchester.
Yes, it is. And we might finish with this. We've got the most famous and the best ever song that the England team produced. Now, just to give a... Charlie Davidson's going to be our musical director on the night.
Yes.
We're going to have people singing various songs.
The national anthems.
My favourite one was Back Home, and we've
back
got
Back Home.
Yes.
We'll be watching far away.
Back home.
Come on, Emma.
Just sounds fantastic. Will they be singing Three Lions?
Well, he hadn't got it on his list, but he might. He might. He might.
Three Lions might need to make an appearance.
And don't
what
think...
What about World Cup Willie?
World Cup Willie?
Yeah.
Well, I've actually put together the biggest playlist. We've put together the biggest playlist of England songs ever, and we're going to play that before we start on the night.
Fabulous.
But the best one out of all of them, I think we're going to play now. We're going to end on this. But can we just remind our listener that it will be taking place on June the 10th.
June the 10th.
Which is a Sunday, isn't it?
Sunday,
And it's just a few days before the beginning of the World Cup. But let's finish with the great song that was World in Motion, and involved a rap by John Barnes. Do you remember him?
No.
So, let's just say...
He was great. His rapping was even better.
Here we go.
World in Motion.
Okay, we're all going to join in with this. Make your own way,
express yourself. That's not him.
This is New Order.
Yeah. It's
surprise about good.
Yeah, it's great.
There's not an England World Cup song this year. It's a national disgrace.
Yeah.
Oh, right one. Get Harwood on it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Like, it's clapping out of time. It's like.
I think we might need some song sheets.
When's the Barnsley bit? Is the Barnsley bit coming up now?
Yeah, Barnsley.
Oh, I don't know. Can I have a quick bit of France?
Oh.
I suppose it's still. Like Diogenes, the great philosopher, because he was granted statues for money for practice discipline. And I think it came to an emergency in life.
I see. Gotta be Barnsley now.
Come on,
Barnsley, come on, man.
Come on, where's the rap?
Come on, John.
Go on, John.
Oh, here he is.
Here we go.
Go, John.
No, it's not.
Oh, no. Come on, Barnsley, get out. You're not Barnsley.
Kevin Beattie.
Wasn't Barnsley with Beattie?
Yeah! Emma, you were in a Cortina at this point.
I was, a yellow Cortina. Yeah. Number plate, Des. 126 Y.
As in Des Walker. No, Des Walker.
Des O'Connor.
Des O'Connor. Okay.
Des Walker. You never played the ring.
Anyway, on that note, I think we should say see you on the 10th. Bye-bye.